Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm going to continue to show some healing testimonies about people who have received the Word of God and it's built faith in them, and they have seen miraculous healings come in their life. Now, we've got a brand new Healing Journeys volume out. It's Healing Journeys Volume 3, and this week I'm going to start showing these brand new, never-before-seen testimonies of healings. We've had our Healing Journeys Volume 1 and Volume 2 out for quite a while, and there's 5 testimonies on each one of those. But this third volume, this will be the very first time that we've ever shown any of these healing testimonies, and I believe they are going to be a blessing to you. I tell you, these are some miraculous testimonies. You know, if the things that we are going to show you this week are true, which they are, we've researched it. I mean, we've got before and after photos, and it's just miraculous. If these things are true, then how can a person argue that God doesn't heal today, that God isn't alive today? These things are completely outside the realm of what's called normal. You know, the very first testimony that I want to give is about Alan and Debbie Moore, and they live in Decatur, Texas. And I actually had met them before this healing took place that you'll be seeing about today, because they go to Greg and Janice Moore's church there in Decatur, the River Church. And so I met them before, and they had been at my meetings, but I honestly didn't get to know them until after this miraculous thing happened, and they began to start telling me about it, and then our camera crew went and interviewed them, and now I've got to know them fairly well. And I tell you, what a powerful couple they are. They are some of the people that answer the phones at Kenneth Copeland's ministry and pray with people. And they have just been a powerful couple. But they specifically got hold of my teaching on the Christian Survival Kit, which is a teaching that I did through John 14, 15, and 16. There was a total of 16 teachings in there. And one of the very points that I make is that you've got to grab hold of your emotions in the very beginning. If you ever let your emotions run away, then it's like a horse. Once it gets out of control and gets up a full head of steam, you're better to jump off than anything else, because you aren't going to stop a horse that is much stronger and bigger than you, etc. So likewise, your emotions, it's easier to rein them in and control them than it is to just let them go and then try and regain control. And because of that teaching, Debbie was strong. And even though her husband, who was told that he wouldn't live, or if he lived, that he would be in a vegetative state, he'd never be able to talk or walk or any of these things. And we've got on this DVD, we've actually got an interview with his doctor. And the doctor just says that there is no medical explanation. He shows actual brain scans that show that Alan's brain, 1/3 of his brain was dead, not only when it originally happened, but still. They took an MRI after he was healed and after he was walking, and still it shows that 1/3 of his brain is dead. And yet, there are no visible effects of it. And the doctor is saying there is no medical explanation. It is a miracle. Praise God. And you know how all of this happened? Because they got hold of these truths, and they weren't going to let their heart be troubled. They were going to believe God. I tell you, the attitude that they have is an attitude that you need to have if you're going to walk in the supernatural power of God. And yet the average person today, with the influence of psychology that we've had, not only in the secular world but in the church, most people today, if you sit there and grab hold of your emotions and refuse to just fall apart like a $2 suitcase and talk about how terrible it is, most people would criticize you. Most Christians would criticize you. I bet you that there's a lot of Christians that are going to watch this DVD today and think that you can't live like that. And they're going to think that Debbie and Alan are condemning other people who get into fear and doubt. That's not what we're doing at all. Man, we understand. I bet you that Alan and Debbie both can understand why a person would struggle with the things that happened to them. But I am saying that this is a goal that we need to shoot for, and it can be done. Here is a real life testimony of people who stood in the face of, the medical profession was saying it's over, it cannot happen. And Debbie refused to let her heart be troubled. And because of it, her husband is still with her today. Watch this DVD, and I'll be back at the end of the program today to wind up the program.
My husband and I have an awesome story to tell. Alan and I have been married for 18 years. He's truly the love of my life.
We love to go for walks, and that's what we do. We established from early in our marriage was going and talking and just learning to communicate with each other, being bound together in the Spirit and in the Word, you know, speaking the same, being of the same judgment, and just expectation of the goodness of God.
We have been partners and friends with Andrew for about 4 years, and we have been intently studying the Word.
We have just been going over and over again, Christian survival, the teaching by Andrew.
He has really spurred us on to know more about living in the spirit realm more than the natural realm. We have intently been listening to Andrew, listening to the teachings, getting that revelation to become our revelation.
John chapter 14, verse 1. Very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
July 15th, 2009, we came home from work, and we work a 10-hour shift. And we work at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And it was about 104 degree temperature out there in July here in Texas. And Alan had popped his head in the door over there, and he said he was going to go out and move some dirt and said he'd be fine. And I felt like the Holy Spirit really was prompting me to go outside. So I ran down the driveway to find Alan on the ground, and he wasn't answering me. So when I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him, and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
After that, she goes and calls 911. I hear the ambulance is coming. Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
And Dr. Shindori became our doctor at that time, looking over Alan. And they then announced to me that he had had a major stroke.
Stroke means loss of blood supply to the brain. I obtained MRI scan of the brain and MR angiogram of the brain. So MRI scan of the brain is something that shows the brain tissue. MR angiogram shows the blood vessels in the brain. MR angiogram showed a blockage of a major blood vessel in the right side of the brain. The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke in the right side of the brain, which controls the left side of the body.
One third of his brain had not received blood.
So that area of the brain is permanently damaged. At that point, we were not very optimistic about the outcome.
And I realized at that point, this was severe, but I was in such peace that it just never moved me.
We received a call from Debbie Moore. She didn't sound frantic or anything, but she said, "Pastor Greg, I need you to come. Alan looks like he's had a stroke."
Alan and Debbie are just vital members of our church. Everyone loves Alan and Debbie. Everyone.
So my wife and I got in the car and drove over there to the hospital. Debbie just said, "Listen, I want you guys to stand with me. I lost one husband to cancer. I'm not losing this one to a stroke. He's coming out of this. I'm not going to have an invalid, handicapped husband."
Well, Alan and Debbie both became prayer ministers about 4 years ago here at KCM. The day that Alan had his stroke, I got a call from Debbie. There was no fear in her voice at all. She was just angry at the enemy for trying to take the one that she loved. And she was very clear about that he was not going to get Alan.
Debbie would periodically, when thoughts would come to her mind, it was kind of humorous because she would just say no.
She would hold her head when any bad thoughts would come, and she'd say, "No, no.
My husband's not going to be crippled, and I'm not going to be feeding him through a straw, and I'm not going to be, we're not going to do that." And she was just talking to her mind, basically telling her mind, "No, we're not going to do that. That's not the way it's going to be."
And I just, with her, just quote the word. We're not going to believe that.
She and Alan both were defaulting to the word. They didn't allow the circumstances to shape what they believed. There was a lot of reason in the natural to be concerned.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
He was paralyzed on the left side.
I'm not supposed to be able to use this left arm, this left leg.
He heard my voice, but he didn't see me.
He lost one half of sight from one eye and one half from the other.
And this is something that they said he would never recover from.
When I realized that his peripheral vision was gone, you know, it just really never dawned on me that it would stay permanent. I just opened my Bible and I said, "God," I said, what is it that I need to know now?" And he gave me Romans 8:6.
To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
And he said, "Debbie," he said, "you can do this carnally and bring death, or you can do this spiritually and bring life." And I drew the line right there, and I thought to myself, "I'm going to do this spiritually and bring life." And I realized that all that we had put in was now all coming to benefit. It was all coming to fruit, you know, that we had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions, and I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control, and that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him because his life was in the balance, and I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free, and I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free. All I had to do was stay with what I believed. I had to stay with my report. And my report trumped over their report every time.
She did not back down to the doctor's report. She heard those reports. But I heard one doctor say, "Ma'am, I don't think you're taking me seriously." She said, "Oh, I realize the seriousness of it." He said, "I've been doing this a long time. I've been doing it 30 years. Her answer was, "Jesus has been healing longer."
Mrs. Morway, she didn't flinch, and she didn't seem to understand.
She was putting into practice the teaching that we'd had about harnessing your emotions. And so because she wasn't moved emotionally, they said, "This woman doesn't understand."
And I said, "Yes, sir, I do." I said, "I understand." I said, "But by the stripes of Jesus, he's been healed and made whole." And he smiled at me and kind of gave me that little nod. And I said, "You watch." On the third day, one of the nurses came into the room, and she began to examine his eyes with a light. And she said, "Mr. Moore," she said, follow the light that I have." So she started off where he could see it, and every place she took that light, so went his eyes.
They'd never seen anybody in the ICU gain their eyesight back that had lost it.
We had a picture hanging up of him in his room. And the day before he had the stroke, he had come out in a magazine.
At KCM, we have the Believer's Voice of Victory magazine. And I have a copy of it here, which has a picture of Alan.
And so I put that picture up there. And every time he would wake up, I'd say to him, "You look at that man. You look at how healthy he is. And that's exactly what you see." The next day, he was moving his leg. He was moving his arm.
He grabbed my hand hard with his left arm. It was a left hand. It was a miracle.
Everything was starting to come back on him.
From then on, you could just see the strength coming back. He was doing better and better and better.
He started getting better, and he was moving the left side, and speech was getting normal.
I could even notice my own speech starting to clear up. And then one day, I just got up and was going to go use the bathroom, and all the things that they'd hooked me up with just were falling off me. And
I walked into the room, and there's three big nurses standing around Alan, and they want to know how he got where he went.
I said, I don't know how you do it, but I walk.
And they said, "But Mr. Moore, you don't understand. You don't walk." And he said, "I don't."
And the ninth day, he went home basically walking.
When Alan got out of the hospital, he was out of the hospital in 9 days, and right after they got home, Debbie called me, and she said, "He's ready to come back to work." Now, Alan came back to work. We expected him to take it a little bit easy, but Alan doesn't take it easy when he's praying. He goes right after it. Alan is, he hasn't missed a day of work since. He's never taken it easy. He's going full bore. His prayers are strong. He's a strong man, and I know that his spirit is stronger than it ever was.
When Alan came home from the hospital, we had to actually find a primary doctor, and Dr. Jeff Alling was willing to become our primary care doctor. And Dr. Alling goes to the church that we go to at the river, and he told us that he would gladly take Alan on.
He came in to me to follow up, and just of course, if I'd seen him just on a routine, if he hadn't have told me he'd had a stroke, I certainly would have never known he'd had a stroke.
He was amazed at Alan. He was amazed at that Alan could function the way he could function. I mean, Dr. Shindori had sent him all the reports, and he had, sent him the x-rays and everything, and Dr. Alan was absolutely amazed.
With major strokes like Alan had, when you've lost most of your middle cerebral artery, or most of your middle cerebral arteries been occluded, I've never seen anyone recover as well as Alan has. Most people are weak on the affected side and drag their foot or can't use their arm or are totally paralyzed. Even often they're totally paralyzed when they've had a stroke this significant. I've never seen anything like this.
In September, he was doing fine. He was basically totally independent. And I could not believe that somebody could get that much of improvement that quickly with that big stroke. So I thought that maybe he didn't have that much damage to the brain. Maybe early on we saw this big area, but maybe that was all, a lot of that was swelling in the brain, not actual destruction of the brain tissue. So I wanted to repeat the MRI scan and MR angiogram to see. And then the MRI scan showed basically again same thing, large area of basically a scar formation. There is no viable brain tissue there in the same area which we saw initially.
There's been no change between the first and second MRI, but the evidence that you have with Alan is that he's walking and talking just like a normal person who had never had a stroke.
So basically he had a massive stroke with the complete permanent damage to that area, but he made a miraculous recovery, so I don't know, I can't explain that.
We just walked out on that, hey, by his stripes we were healed. We just saw the progression, the power of God working in our lives.
Dr. Shindori showed Alan the large, massive stroke that he had had, and he said to him, all I can say is that your head does not match your body. He says, I don't understand it. He says, I don't understand anything about this. He says, but your head does not match your body.
I never saw anybody with that big stroke, with also clear-cut blockage of the blood vessel, going out of the hospital in 9 days, just walking. Never saw that in my 30 years, more than 30 years of neurology practice.
And so we just believe that 1 Peter 1:5 says that Alan's been kept by the power of God through faith. And he walks around today perfectly normal. He works a 10-hour shift 4 days a week.
Thank you for calling Kenneth Cope Ministry Prayer Line. My name is Alan. Who am I praying with?
He's on the prayer line praying for people, speaking that word over them, giving them life.
In Jesus' name, amen.
He's completely healed and he's completely made whole.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm going to work hard, I'm going to work strong, and I'm going to do it in the Lord's strength. And so, praise God, we can see the results, we can see the victory. And so we'll continue to walk in that same way, knowing that God is a good God and his provision is abundant for every grace we need.
Praise God. Isn't that awesome? I tell you what, that's what faith can do. But I want you to notice that it isn't something that they just prayed and believed and then it either works or it doesn't work. No, they had to take their authority. You know, there's two ways to receive a healing from God. One of them is through an absolute miracle. And I may be oversimplifying things, but to a large degree, a miracle is something that just happens instantaneously. There is total restoration, and it just happens. But a healing, where it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 20, you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That is a gradual thing, and it's something that has to be worked out. And one of them, a miracle, just comes instantly, and it's something that happens when the Spirit is moving. Oftentimes, you're in a service, and there are gifts of the Spirit, people who have special anointings, and the anointing is flowing, and things like this. During the old Pentecostal healing revival days, this is primarily how most of the healing power of God was manifest. It was in a service when everything was brought to a crescendo and the power of God flowed. And that is valid, and we still need that today. But there is another way to receive a healing, and that is that God has already placed on the inside of us the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And in Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, it tells us to go heal the sick. It didn't say pray for the sick. It says go heal the sick. And you can also receive a healing, not just through a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit and a collective anointing that's flowing in a service, but you can release the healing power of God by just taking your authority. You have the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And you can take your authority and just speak to situations and they shall recover. It may not happen instantly. It may happen progressively. I forget the exact length of time, but this DVD that you saw today, Alan, I think, was back to work on the phones at Kenneth Copeland Ministry within a week or 10 days, something like that. It wasn't months or years drawn out, but there was a period of time. And they just took their authority and spoke. And it seems like people either choose one or these two ways of receiving from God, but they never combine them. If a person does know about just taking your authority and speaking and standing and over a period of time you see things come to pass, they will tend to make fun of or discredit the moving of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit to where a person just receives instantly, but it has to be in a certain setting and under a certain anointing. They will say, no, that's not right. Or the people who are used to receiving under these giftings will sit there and discredit a person just taking their authority and speaking. But both of them are valid ways of receiving. And I want to point out that Alan and Debbie, it wasn't just instantaneous with them. It took a period of time. And yet you saw their own doctor saying that this is an absolute miracle. There is no medical explanation for this. It is just as valid whether you take your authority and recover over a period of time or whether you have a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit flow and receive a miracle. Both of them are valid ways of receiving a healing. There is no bad way to receive a healing. So praise God. Rejoice with us over what God did for Alan Moore. I encourage you to get these DVDs, share them with somebody else. And also let our prayer ministers pray with you that God would move in your life.
The story you saw on today's program is included, along with four additional healing testimonies, on the brand new Healing Journeys Volume 3 DVD. This new release DVD is available for a gift of any amount when you contact us. Or you can get this product as part of the Healing Journeys package, which includes three DVDs, Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, and 3. These three DVDs contain a total of 15 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. In addition to the DVDs, this package also includes a copy of the booklet, God Wants You Well. This booklet answers questions about healing and lists every instance in the Bible where Jesus healed.
The Healing Journeys, I watched over and over.
I remember when I was going through treatment, he was talking on those and showing those testimonies, and it just helped me tremendously to be able to just soak that in and watch how God has healed them. And he's no respecter of persons, so I knew that my healing was taken care of as well.
The entire package has a catalog value of $77. But today you can get the Healing Journeys package for a gift of just $50 or more. The booklet, God Wants You Well, is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this booklet free of charge when you request it. We'd also like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado this week for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 20th through the 22nd, and in Houston, Texas for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 10th through the 12th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 9th through the 11th, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 31st through April 2nd, and in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 14th through the 16th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Friday and Saturday morning. Friday, we not only have all of our Bible college classes and ministry things.
I'd like to invite all of the men to come join me on January the 20th through the 22nd right here at our facility in Colorado Springs for our 2011 Men's Advance. It starts on Thursday evening, January the 20th. It goes through Saturday morning. And it's just a great time for guys to get together to sit under the Word, and I promise you it'll make an impact on your life. So make plans to join me right here in Colorado Springs, January the 20th through the 22nd for our 2011 Men's Advance.
On today's program, Andrew mentioned the healing testimony of Alan and Debbie Moore. To see more about this story, go to our website at www.awmi.net and click on Healing Testimonies on the left side of the screen.